All right.
I was looking through the book of Hosea, and I think one of the things that came to me was, you realize that if you go through every detail of Hosea, you will be a prophet of doom. Okay, because there's a lot of judgments that Hosea has pronounced on the land of Israel. What I'm going to do is actually, we'll still be finishing the book. But today we'll cover two chapters, all right? And we'll just kind of lump groups of, under specific headings. You will have the 10 of them there, or the 5 blasts, and then the 5 consequences of judgment on the children of Israel in the book of Hosea from chapter 8 and chapter 9. I will actually just be going through them, and do write down notes as you go along. There will be specific lessons that will go, I'll be highlighting on each point. And I'm hoping that God will use this to help us understand. Now, I just want to set the whole thing properly, okay? This week we'll try to finish these two chapters, and then next week will be Good Friday already. And then after that, following, we'll take 2 more Friday nights just to finish off the book of Hosea. The next following Friday will be a summary of the condition of Israel. Then the final one will cover chapters 11, 12, 13, and 14 about God's future restoration, all right? How... Even though no matter how sinful we are, no matter how sinful the children of Israel is, God always has a blessing at the end. All right? And that doesn't mean that we continue in our sin. When I say blessing means God always have a plan to bring us back. All right? However, some people will have to suffer for their sin, as we will see. But generally, God actually still loves us. You know? And because God loves us despite our sin. God doesn't love our sin, but He loves us despite our sin. Just like a parent would love a child. A child may have done a lot of wrong, you know. Some people have said, you know, sometimes our faces are only faces that only mummies can love. Alright? Everyone doesn't really like us. But you know, moms and dads love our children no matter how they look like. Okay, I was in Australia and I was doing my undergraduate course in occupational therapy. One of the most hideous child I've ever seen. He's a 3-year-old. Okay, and I was part of an Italian family, and Italian families have this problem. They always like to marry within their own families. Now, that's a problem. Why? Because of the genetic problems that come up. So, there's this severely, intellectually, and physically disabled child. Okay, it's just like, I just can't do anything. If it's about a few months old, it's okay, but the child is 3 years old. Okay, cannot sit, cannot walk, cannot talk, cannot just kind of just... And he's alive, you know, the heart is still beating, but totally intellectually disabled. And mom is Turkish. I think it was an Italian family, or this maybe a different one, but there was another one. Mom is Turkish, and interesting, the child also was very severely disabled, but mom was taking all in her stride, and she offered me Turkish delight. How many of you have tried Turkish delight before? I'm not very delighted with that. It's so sweet. So I kind of, oh, thank you, mom. You know, go on, bye. You know, it's so sweet. Turkish delight. But well, I mean, some people may like that. I don't know. But judgments will come. Okay, judgments will come. Well, let's look at Hosea chapter 8. All right, let's follow along. And I will be reading each verse. Some of it I may not go into a lot of detail. I will summarize the verse. And if you have any questions, please stop me, okay? What we want to do is, sometimes in the normal preaching during Sunday, we may not actually go into specific detail because I believe God wanted to highlight specific points. But on Friday nights, we want to go into what the Bible says. During this week, I was talking to someone about Calvinism, alright? I was talking to him, and it was really very interesting because, how many of you know what Calvinism is? Calvinism is the belief that God is the only one that saves people, and people don't have any opportunity to even make a decision to trust Christ, okay? And so I was talking to this person, and thank God he was on home ground, and I was able to give him a lot of... to the end, one thing I realized when he was telling me generally what he believes, but he wasn't able to pull out verses and say, see, this is what... Even though he may bring out certain verses, he wasn't very specific about that. It's very general. I talk about Malachi chapter 3 and all that. He kind of just throwing out verses, you know. But what I did was, okay, what about this verse, brother? This verse here, what does it say? Okay? And after he looked at it a while, I said, no, then he changed subject, you know. And went to Genesis chapter 3 about... so that was where he got stuck. And there was one point he said something. that really made me almost cry in front of him. You know, if you believe that, you're saying that God is the author of sin, you know, that kind of thing. So was thankful. At the end of that, he was appreciative. Thank God, I believe he's saved, but he just, in terms of his teaching, he may be a bit wrong. Not a bit wrong, he's very wrong. But he needs to be in the Word. And at the end of that, I was able to show him from the Scriptures clearly. You know what? We need to know the Bible very clearly, word for word, because the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All parents need to know the Bible clearly, because it is the children. You know, parents, if you don't know the Bible, you got nothing to feed your child. Okay? Sunday school teachers, even youth workers, people in the different ministries, if you don't know the Word, you cannot feed the people under you. Okay? So, Hosea chapter 8, I'll start off with verse number 1, okay? And then afterward, I will highlight the different blasts, and I'll share with you why it's a blast now. Verse 1, the Bible says, set the trumpet to thy mouth. God tells Hosea, I want you to blow the trumpet. Okay, in the book of Numbers chapter 19, you don't have to turn there. God actually oftentimes uses trumpets to sound off, alright? Whether it's to gather the elders of the children of Israel, whether it is to gather the whole congregation, okay? They have two trumpets, okay? Both trumpets will sound together. In Numbers chapter 19, you can read there, all the children of Israel are supposed to come. If they sound just one trumpet, only the elders are supposed to come. So different trumpets actually have different meanings, okay? And when the children of Israel goes into war, there's a different trumpet sound as well. But here, God says, sound the trumpet. In other words, let's get the children of Israel alert. I want to tell them something. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. God says that I'm going to come as an eagle attacks a prey. You know how an eagle attacks a prey? Eagle generally hover, right? Then when he sees a prey, you know, she just swoops down. Okay? According to the Old Testament, eagle is an unclean animal. In the Old Testament, okay? And so God says, I'm going to send the eagle, and he's going to come, and he's going to judge the house of the Lord. House of the Lord refers to the nation of Israel, okay? Now, two reasons why. Why God wanted to judge the children of Israel. Now, the blast that you see there is, the Bible says, set the trumpet to thy mouth. God tells Hosea, I want you to blast the trumpets. There are five trumpet blasts in Hosea chapter 8, alright? The first blast, alright? First blast is Hosea chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. First blast declares the coming of judgment. Coming of judgment. Alright? The trumpet indicates that judgment is coming. Now, why in verse 1 did God say, I'm going to judge the nation of Israel? Two reasons. Because they have transgressed my covenant. God has made a covenant with Israel. The Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant. Right? There are different covenant basically is an agreement between God and the children of Israel. Okay? And it's interesting about covenants is, number one, covenants is based on trust. And that's why we have our church covenant. Alright? We don't get people to sign. Some of you may have contracts with maybe people that you made. The reason why you sign a contract is so that if you break the contract, what happens? I can sue you. Okay? Now, covenants are based on trust. And so when God actually says that covenant, is interesting, because for a covenant to be in place, it's not dependent on the other person. This is very important for us to understand. Covenants in the Bible is this. Even if the other party breaks the agreement, I will still keep the agreement. That's a covenant. Amen? So God keeps His covenant. And when God saves you, He keeps that covenant. So even you are unfaithful, God says, even though you are unfaithful, I'm still faithful. God will still keep that covenant. Amen? So, but here God says, look, I'm keeping my part of the covenant. Now what's happened to you? That's what God is saying. Number one, they have transgressed the covenant. Okay? Number one. Number two, they have trespassed against my law. God has given specific instructions to do certain things. For example, God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, thou shalt not commit adultery is a clear teaching of the Word of God to the Israelites. But the Israelites are kind of just, they're playing the, after in chapter 9, verse 1, they're just playing the whore, you know, playing the immoral person. And God says, hey, what are you doing this for? You have broken my law. And that's why, because, and by the way, when God judged Israel, it wasn't for a one-time playing the, it's not for a one-time, one-night stand, if you understand. It's not a one-time thing that they actually was involved in immorality. There were 250 years of immorality we're talking about here. Alright, God is from the time of Solomon, and then Solomon to Jeroboam. Jeroboam, about 931 BC, the kingdom of Israel was broken into two, all the way to BC 732. That was about 200 years of immorality God is talking about. Okay, it's not just a God kind of just, I'm not happy with you and that's how I'm going to judge you. No, it's for 200 years a trend of immorality that the children of Israel was in. Okay, now in application to us, you know, when we have trusted Christ as our personal Savior, we've accepted the conditions for our salvation. Okay, when we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God saved us. Alright, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's a promise, we accepted that. Okay, so we have the covenant with God. Now in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15, as a result of the... So let's turn there, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15. And 16. Okay, if I'm going too fast, please stop me. But I need to go a bit fast because there's about 30 verses to go through. But I'll just highlight some points, alright? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Let's read together, alright? This is God's law for every Christian after we get saved. Verse 15, ready? 1, 2, begin. But as He which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God who has called you is holy. The word holy means not always wearing white. Not having this little halo around. By the way, halo is a symbol of the sun god. Okay, a halo is a symbol of the sun god. Alright, which oftentimes in maybe Italian paintings of saints and all that, when you have this big circle around, it's not a symbol of sainthood, it's a symbol of the sun god. Alright, okay, so it's actually a pagan sign, okay. Now, here God says, I'm set apart, means holy means to be set apart. God is absolutely holy. Holy means without sin, as far as God is concerned. God says, because I'm holy, as my people, God expects Christians to be set apart too. Okay? And the word, He said, so be holy or set apart in all manner of conversation, the way you talk, the way you dress, the activities you do, children, how you treat your parents, you have to be set apart. You have to show your music you listen to, it has to be different sound compared to the world's music. Example, the way we dress, the way we think, the words we say, the ideas we portray, it has to be set apart. Alright? And God says, as a Christian, we need to be set apart. The children of Israel knew God's law, but they were not set apart because they were mixing with the world. Alright? That's why the first blast of the trumpet sound is going to come with judgment. Alright? In verse 3, let's turn to Hosea chapter 8, verse 3 again. Let's move on. Sorry, in verse 2 first. After God says, they've broken my covenant and transgressed my law, Israel shall cry unto me, you know, oh God, we know you are. God, have mercy on us, you know, we know you are. You know, oftentimes the children of Israel, after God is judging them, they will usually try to call back to God in mercy. That is a trend of the Old Testament, alright? After Joshua, they went into the promised land. One generation lived for God, the next generation began to move away from God to the point that they began to commit evil, and the children of Israel were sent into captivity. They cried to God, God saved them, they were happy for a few years, then they go into sin again. After sin again, God sends judgment, and then judgment came, the enemies came, they captured them, children of Israel called to God again, God had mercy, saved them again, and it's just a round and round and round and round and round and round kind of picture of our Christian life, right? Huh? Not supposed to sin, we sin, after sin we get into trouble, God help us, okay, we are fine for a few months, few days, few weeks, after we get into sin again, and after that God help us again, and go round and round and round and round. You know, there comes a time that God says, I'm going to stop the cycle, I'm going to deal with you once and for all. Okay, look at verse number 3. Why? Israel says, or God says, Israel has cast off the thing that is good. What is the thing that is good? You know what the thing that is good? Whatever God gives to Israel is good. God gave blessings to Israel. God gave the land to Israel. God gave the law to Israel. God gave the statues to Israel. God gave the priests to Israel. And everything, sacrifices to Israel. Everything that God gives is good. You know what Israel did? Throw it all away. Throw it all away. I was there was one time when I actually was called up to help this. I had this friend, he's actually working as a therapy assistant. That was many years ago. He had a friend who was 15 years old. And this 15-year-old girl, alright, was when I saw her with my friend, and she had two or three friends around there as well. He was in a room, okay? And she was kind of just lying down and holding a little amulet or something. Okay, amulet or something. Both her parents were directors of multinational companies. She had the privilege of a good education. Okay? And she had everything that she ever wanted. And she went to drugs. She just went to drugs. Drinking. To a point that she was at that point depressed. And that was when they asked myself to come, not as pastor, as an occupational therapist. Okay, as a therapist, I said, that's not my area. I think you need to get someone else. But, you know what? Everything provided for her, she cast it all away. Just throw it all out. Foolishness, isn't it? Do you realize there's a trend of many Christians, not Christians, but many people today. Everything is going for them. Their education is fine. And then you know what you do? For the sake of computer games. Ding, 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 ding. And then they break their health. They're sick. Huh? Right? They throw everything else away. Or for a friend who doesn't even treat them right, they throw it all away. Why? Here, in the Hosea chapter 8, verse 3, Israel has cast off the thing that is good. Christians, we need to open our eyes to what is good. Sometimes what we are looking for, playing with, may not be the good thing. Agree? You may have this nice pig trotted, deep fried, with lots of nice sauce. Okay? It looks nice, but it may not be the best thing because you got a sore throat. Some people say, never mind, Brother Johnny, I'll take 2 days MC. That's not good. Israel has cast off the thing that is good. You need to be careful. As a result, the enemy will chase him, meaning the bad things. The enemy of his soul and the spirit will come after you. If we are depressed, but we are seeking the world or self or treasures to make us happy, then we'll experience defeat and being downtrodden. When God has given us the good things and we choose something else, you know what will happen? You'll be downtrodden. Okay? Take what God has given to you. Now, the first blast of judgment. Okay? Number two, the second blast emphasized Israel's sin of rebellion. Okay? Look at verse number 4. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have put up authorities in their life, but they are not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not, God says. Of their silver and gold have they made them idols. Guess where they got their silver and gold from? Where did they get their silver and gold from? From God. God prospered them. You know what they did? Use the gold that they had, and make a calf. Reminds you of what in the Bible? What situation in the Bible? Moses' time. Okay, they make a golden calf, alright? They frame a golden calf. Okay, now they have rejected the authority of God in their lives and they choose kings according to their own principles and their own fancies. Alright, here the Bible says they have set up kings but not by me. Question for us in application, who is the king in our life? Or what is the king in our life? What drives us? Alright, is it entertainment? We were talking to this men, and we're asking what is the entertainment of this particular country, and say, well, entertainment, you know, it could be in games, it could be in music, it could be whatever is entertainment. What drives Singaporeans? Political party, you know. What drives elections? What drives Singaporeans? What's the driving force for Singaporeans generally? Huh? Money. Who says money? Recently, what we have this poll. Singapore is the top 20, is it? 21, top 21 most expensive place to live in this world. Okay, and Singapore being a meritocratic society, we are all after the mighty dollar. Okay, and what we do to get there, we study hard. Nothing wrong with that, you know. But we need to ask a question: is that the king in our lives? If God takes it away, is that okay? You know how we know what is a king or not in our lives. For those young people, if taking away your iPhone, is it going to be a problem for you? It may be inconvenient. Okay? But we have to be... some people are just... for some people, you cannot take away their certain things. Have you had children who... No, children when they're young, 4 or 5 years old, they have this thing called cho-cho. Have you heard that before? You know what's cho-cho? Cho-cho means smelly, smelly. There are some children, I'm a therapist, and some of these children, they come in with some disabilities, and what they do is they have cho-cho. Cho-cho basically is their pillow, or their bolster, their small one, that's very smelly, only they like the smell, you know the... And if you take it away from them, you know what they're going to do? They will fight you for it. They'll bite you and all the kind of thing. Why? Because that's their God. But something that they like a lot. Okay? Now, I don't think adults would have that, do you? Robin Kwan, do you have a cho-cho? Baba, do you have a cho-cho? I don't think you would have. Which he have a cho-cho? Or you have a siang-siang? Okay, something that is something that you hold on to, and if someone takes it away, and you will fight for it. The question we need to ask ourselves, what's a king in our lives? You know, God says that children of Israel has set up kings without God's authority. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Very important verse for Christians. The second verse emphasizes Israel's sin of rebellion, okay? Setting up kings and princes without authority. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, the Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I used to think that where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. I used to think that, you know. But then I begin to realize, the Bible says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know why that is? Does anyone want to venture? Why is it not where your heart is, there will your treasure be also? But the Bible says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What does that mean? It means this. You and I can never identify where our heart is. Because our heart is desperately wicked and sinful. You know what God does? God actually gives us a strong indicator of what is your motivation. If your motivation is, I need to listen to this kind of music day in, day out, and if I don't listen to this kind of music, I'm going to die, you know? You know what God says? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. If a person who always goes for, always has to drink coffee, he doesn't drink water. And I had this chief instructor, he's a major, he doesn't drink water, he just drink beer. Okay, and he doesn't have beer, he go into withdrawal symptoms. You know, I've literally seen him in withdrawal symptoms, you know. You know what? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That is actually a very strong indicator for us. That's why sometimes I use it as an indicator of asking us, where is your heart? You know how God gives us a clue. What you spend the most time is in, that's where your heart is. If you spend your time a lot in God's Word, that's where your heart is. Okay? If you spend a lot of time in your work, sometimes I know it's no choice one. The boss asks you overtime and all that kind of thing. No choice. But you know what? If you have the time, will you still go back to work? Some do. Okay? You know what that means? That's where your heart is. That's what the Bible means. And so we have set up a king, but it's not according to God's principles. Does that make sense? So God here is emphasizing, and to God it's a sin of rebellion. He said, hey, I'm your king. I've saved you. I'm your Lord. What's happening here? Okay? For my life, I was just thinking through today as I was spending time in preparing. You know, as a pastor, my goal is to prepare to feed the people of God with the Word of God and make sure that they grow. It's so easy for me to say that by preparing the message, I'm also reading God's Word, right? But you know, it's very different preparing the Word for someone. Of course, you will grow by it compared to just reading it for yourself. There's a big difference. Kind of like a teacher preparing a primary school lesson for the class. Okay? Of course, she may learn the new skills and all that kind of thing, but it's really not for herself. Firstly, the boss is paying her. Secondly, she better get the children to pass her exams, otherwise the teacher's performance bonus is not going to be there, kind of thing, you know. It's not really for herself. You know, it's one thing that I'm struggling a lot with, not struggling, but thinking a lot through, that I must make sure that I do not just prepare messages to feed without first feeding myself. Okay? Kind of like in, you know, some of you have taken planes before, right? Remember one of the things, when the oxygen mask comes down and you have a child, who do you take care of first? You take care of yourself first. You know why? Because you may be turning blue. As if you try to take care of your child first, you may be... and then both of you die. You know, so you take care of yourself first with the oxygen mask, and then you take, then you're well enough to take care of the one next to you. Okay? So, we need to be careful when you're reading God's Word. You need to nourish your own soul. As a Christian, you need to nourish your own soul first. Okay? Question, who is the king in your life? Alright? Now, the third blow, the third blast, alright, in verse 5, dealt with Israel's idolatry. Okay? Is announcing that Jehovah has cast off the idols of Samaria. In verse 5, thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. Basically, God is saying, I am casting you off because your idolatry disgusts me. God says, how dare you turn the worship of a holy God into a golden animal? Alright? And that's why in our church we have no statues. Why? Because God says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. God cannot be represented by any idol. Did you realize? The moment we have a fake, the moment we come up with a statue of some sort, we have already blasphemed the name of God. You know why? Because we have brought God down to the level of human imagination. Think about that. That's why God said, thou shalt not have any graven images, because God is so holy, He's so lofty in His mind, in his position, that the moment we even dare to have a statue of Him, we've brought Him down. Because He is so lofty and He's so holy. Does that make sense? That's why God says, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Alright? Please remember that. Sometimes you say, I think God is like that. The moment you think that, that's idolatry. Okay? A bit hard to understand sometimes. You say, no, I need this statue for inspiration. Well, again, idolatrous inspiration. Because God's not like that. Okay? So, here the Bible says in verse 5, thy calf, O Samaria, disgust me, hath cast me off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be before they attain? The word ere means before they attain to innocency. You know, God is saying, I'm angry with idolatry. How long are you going to learn? How long are you going to be mature enough to know that I don't delight in idolatry? Okay, the idol has been built by Samaria. God calls the idol by its real name. It's not a god, it's a calf. It's a calf. Okay, it's a calf. Your idolatry disgusts me, and God's anger is kindled. Now, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 15. So we understand why is God angry with the idolatry. Alright? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 15. I'll just read there. You can jot it along. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. I'll read in Exodus 20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now, God is a jealous God. Well, I mean, our God is sinful, right? Because the idea of jealousy has the idea of sinfulness. Let's put it in perspective, okay? Lydia, do you mind coming here? I'll give you an idea of what God means. Okay? Gloria, she's my wife, okay? If any man touches her, I'm a jealous husband. Am I right to be jealous? Think about that. Am I right to be jealous? She's my wife. If any man touches her in a way that's inappropriate, my wrath will be kindled against the person, right? Does it make sense? Let's put it in perspective when you read the Bible. Don't just say, oh, God is a jealous God. Like, he's a sinful God. No, He's not. God is jealous over His own people. Just like if, brother Mike, if someone bullies Angel, what will you do? You bully him, right? Because if someone bullies your wife, you're going to have it out with him, right? Why? Because you're jealous over the people that God has given to you. Just like a mother hen takes care of the chicks, God takes care of His people. And if anyone would transgress and hurts His children, you know what God's going to do? I'm a jealous God. God is jealous over us. You know why? Because He loves us. Think about that. Okay? And that's why God says, look, I bought you. Children of Israel, I bought you. You are mine. I've chosen you as a nation. How dare you go out and play a fool with the idols of the land. Alright, that's why God says He will be angry with them. Alright, in verse number 6. For from Israel was it also. Now that's quite an abrupt statement. Simply means this. The idolatry and the worshippers of the idolatry was also coming from Israel. That's what it means there. Okay. The work man made it, therefore it is not God, because it is man made. Can I say this? In Singapore, Waterloo Street, many of these places, they make all the statues. You know what people do? They buy the statues, put it in their homes, and they pray to it as gods. Okay? Now, it's important for us to understand. The Bible says here, in verse number 6, the workman made it, therefore it is not God. That's what the Bible says. I understand many of the people who bought this are sincere. They may have their own belief system. Alright? They have the right to believe whatever they want to believe. Okay? Right? Doesn't make it right. But that's what they believe. That's fine. But God says, those things that are made, and they worship, God says it's not God. God's man-made. Okay? It's very important for us to understand. Now, children, we don't go around and just point, hey, yours is not God, huh? We don't want to be rude. Alright? No one need to do, children, we need to pray for them, okay? Adults also, we need to pray for them. We need to share with them the gospel so that they go and change their minds, okay? We don't go around making fun of. Because, you know why people get angry? Because you're attacking their belief. But what? God needs to change that heart. But God makes it clear here. The workman made it, therefore it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. The idolatry, God says, I'm going to destroy it. Verse 7, for they have sown the wind, and they shall weep the whirlwind. What does it mean? If you have put in the wind, the idea of wind means meaninglessness and sin, you're going to reap the whirlwind. When you reap sin, you're going to get greater punishment. Okay? If it has no stock, the bud shall yield no meal. The idea is there's not going to be any productivity if you indulge in this idolatry. If so be it, you, the stranger, shall swallow it up. You see, the children of Israel were believing in the calf to bring them prosperity. But many Christians have, when I knock on the door and share with them, the first thing they say, will your God give me money? Have you heard that before? Will your God give me money? All money belongs to Him anyway. Your health belongs to Him. And all wealth doesn't mean it's money. Doesn't have to be money. God gave us wealth. But you know what? Money belongs to Him. The gold in the mountains belong to God. You know, where do you think you get your gold ring from? You think you made it? No, God did. Okay, and we give Him the glory back. So, here God says, the children of Israel were into this idolatry, believing that these idols are going to give them productivity. God says what? If you're going to do that, I will cut off all productivity. Remember Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18? They were depending on Baal for the weather, for the rain. And God told Elijah, go and tell King Ahab for 3.5 years, you are not going to have rain. God was in effect challenging what the children of Israel was believing in. That's why God said, I'm going to cut off rain for 3.5 years. Okay? And where are you going to find water? They couldn't find water. Okay? So here, God says, when we have idols in our lives, it could be our pride, our selfishness, our wanting to do what we want to do. Guess what? There will be little returns. Sometimes we focus so much on the gift that we forget the giver. Parents have this problem. When someone gives a gift to a child, what must we parents always have to do? Always have to tell the children to say, thank you. Why? Because the children, we focus on the gift more than the giver. Does that make sense? And that's why even as parents, we are training our children to say thank you to the giver. It's very important. You know why? When we receive things from God, don't just take it and say nothing. Children, did you thank God today that you have your mommy and daddy to take care of you? Did you thank God today for your water bottle? That's a small thing. Do you thank God that you have a... How many children, when you go back today, you have a bed to sleep in? Put up your hand. Children. When you go home today, do you have a bed to sleep in? Put up your hand. Okay, we all have, right? Children, you have, right? Have, right? Did you thank God for it? Did you thank God that your bed is without bed mites? That mommy and daddy takes pain to clean it? Huh? Did you read the newspaper, the Straits Times, of some of these elderly people who do not know how to take care of themselves? Their bed is infested with bed mites. And they're all red, bitten and all that. Did you thank God that you have... how many of you children sleep with aircon? Put your hand. Did you thank God for the aircon? You know daddy has to pay for the... Did you thank daddy for working hard? You know why we need to be thankful for the person? Don't just say, wow, aircon, so shook. Maybe you need to think, aircon, thank God. Alright? But you know what? When we have idols in our lives, sometimes what God may have to do is to, in order for you to remember that I'm the giver, I may have to take it away. Sometimes God has to take away our health to remind us that we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to God. Okay? Fourth blast, okay? The fourth one denounced Israel alliances. This talks about compromise, okay? This talks about compromise, verse 8. This is the judgment in Hosea chapter 8, verse 8. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Israel is swallowed up. The word swallowed up has the idea of destruction. Okay. Now shall they be among the Gentiles. They will be scattered. Okay. As it is in the history, they were swallowed by Assyria. Verse 9. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone. Now, what is the characteristic of a donkey? Ass is a donkey. Okay. What is the characteristic of the donkey? He is stubborn. Alright, he's stubborn, okay, a wild donkey that is stubborn. He has gone to Assyria. You know who is Assyria? Assyria is a pagan nation, alright, that literally killed a lot of Israelites. And yet, here the Israelites are going there for help again, okay. Himself, an indication of Ephraim has hired lovers. You know what that means? Israel had paid for immorality. They were not only playing with immorality, they were involved in it and they were paying people so that they can have it. Immorality. That's what's happening. That's why God hates it so much. Verse 10. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, although they have gone to different places, God says, I'm going to bring them all back. Now will I gather them in order to deal with them. Okay? And they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the princes of for king of the princes. Now the key here is the cause of Israel's coming judgment is stubbornness. They simply refuse to listen to God. And that is something that God cannot stand. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. Let's turn there. Every child needs to understand this verse. And every one of us in our Christian life needs to know this verse very well. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Everyone is turning to it except me. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Okay, let's read verse 22 together. Okay, ready? 1, 2, begin. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and hearken than the fat of rams. Okay, one of the things I emphasize very strongly in my family is obedience is an absolute necessity. There is no room, no tolerance for disobedience. Why? Because God puts a very high premium. God puts it on a very high priority. Look at verse 23. To God, the Bible says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Do you know what is the consequence and punishment for idolatry and witchcraft? Death by stoning. God equates obedience to your parents and disobedience to your parents as witchcraft, punishable by death. Alright? And that is very serious in the eyes of God. And that's why your mom and dad is trying very hard to teach you what is fine You know, for parents ourselves, we need to learn to obey God when He tells us to obey Him. Because it's so serious that God says, I'm going to deal with you because you were stubborn as a wild donkey that refused to listen to me. Okay? So because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. King Saul had the entire kingdom taken away from him because he disobeyed God twice. The first time, God was saying, Saul, you're cutting it very close. The second time, when God says, destroy the Amalekites, you know what he did? Destroyed completely, he kept some. God says, I'm not interested in your sacrifice, I'm interested in your heart. We need to obey God, Christians, because God is looking for wholehearted obedience. Okay? Now, the children of Israel in Hosea chapter 8 has committed what we could call spiritual adultery. Right? I'm a Christian, alright? And so, let's say, I'm a Christian, I'm, in a sense, married to God, alright? I'm belongs to God. But if I play a fool with the world, I'm in effect committing so-called spiritual adultery. Does it make sense? Okay? And so, where does spiritual adultery come from? It stems from compromise. Okay? The willingness to give up something so that we can get something else. Think about that. Compromise is the willingness to give up something in order to get something else. Many Christians give up parts of their Christian life in order to get what the world will give to them. Example, we give up Bible reading to spend some more time on Facebook. We give up church and spiritual fellowship so they can get more rest. We give up serving God for making money. And many Christians give up Christ for the world. For those who have watched Sheffie, you know the film show Sheffie? How many remember what Sheffie said in the last, very last portion of the entire movie? It's Sheffie is actually a Christian preacher who goes around preaching, and he had these big revival meetings, and he wanted them to have it every year. And when, you know, we have revival meetings for like two nights, right? They have it for 5 weeks. Every morning and night they will preach. Well, can you imagine? All right, they will just be together for 5 weeks. And this Sheffie wanted it so badly because many people, people need to get saved. Towards the end, the campground or the revival buildings were all burned down. And he had to ask God for forgiveness because Sheffie wanted to do it in his own strength. But he made mention of one thing that was very important. At the end of his life, he realized one thing, Sheffie. He said, our Christianity wasn't taken away from us. We gave it away, little by little. And whatever the world takes, the world doesn't give it back. Think about that. When we compromise and give it to the world, it simply is not worth it because once you lose it forever. Parents, when you give up your children to television, when you give up your children to the things that you know is even questionable, you know what you do? The devil's not going to allow you to take that back. He will fight you for every inch of ground. Okay? Compromise is a lousy way to go because it will bring you away further and further away from God. Can I say this? On the short term, you do not see the results. But 10 years later, you are going to say, where did I go wrong? Why did I do that in the first place? By that time, it would be too late. It would be too late. Okay? Verse number 7, Hosea chapter 8, verse 7, they have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind, it has no stop. Okay, let's move on. The fifth blast drew attention to the altars of sin, verse number 11, because Ephraim had made many altars to sin. Now what happened is that they were actually worshipping the idols, and so they made many, many altars, alright, to sin. The altar shall be unto him to sin. Okay, now that sounds a bit confusing. They made many altars to sin, therefore, basically what he's saying is, in order to worship these so-called gods, they made many altars. Alright, to them they think that he's actually worshipping God. Does that make sense? Sometimes they all, I worship God, but you know, I also do a bit of this, but you know what, I'm sure worshipping God what? Example, using rock music to worship God. For example, there's no such thing as rock music. There's no such thing as Christian rock. All rock is rock. And people say, oh, I'm worshipping God with this rock music, you know. Okay, with a good heart, they are actually worshipping God. But God says, when you make these altars to sin, these altars will be to you sin. In other words, God will recognize them not as altars to Him, but altars for sin. Okay? So we need to be very careful how we worship the Lord. Verse 12, I've written to him the things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. God has given the word of God. Let me ask you a question. When you read the Bible, does it make sense to you? Question, do you read the Bible? You know, the children, God says, I've written to him the great things of my law. You know what's the meaning of strange? Strange means not recognizable. I'm afraid that some Christians may have heard God's word, but they don't recognize it. Error message. Every time God preaches, error message comes up in the brain. Error. Why? Not because God's word is wrong, but because our confused system are non-responding. God says, I have written to them great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. In other words, the children of Israel considered it error. I don't know what you're talking about, God. No, this is a very sad thing today. Because we live in a world. Today, in the last two days, I just gotten a whole set of commentaries. Okay, it's about 8,000 pages commentaries. Thank God it is on soft. It's electronic. So I don't have to. It's about this much. Okay. It's all in Sports Archer. It's a new, it's by Independent Baptist, and got this 8,000 pages of them. And I thank God for that. But you know what? You realize in our day and age, we have, how many of you have the Bible on your handphones? Okay, most of us have. Right? Most of us have. How many of you actually read them? Besides in church. Huh? Or share it with someone in your school or something. The Bible says, I've given to you great things of the law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Christians, I'm praying. You know, one of the things in my heart as pastor, may the word of God not be a strange thing, an ambassador. May we know it from cover to cover. If you're not an FBI, you need to be. The church is willing to even pay for you in order to get you into FBI. And I've got about 10 forms in my house. Just let me know. I'll pay for you, really. We have offered to pay for people because we'd rather pay $150 for 17 weeks for you to have one whole semester of Bible rather than give you a tree. $170 is gone in 2 days. Huh? For us, going to a restaurant paying $200 is no big deal, you know? But you know what? When it comes to Bible college, not too sure whether I should invest this $200 in the Bible college, in the Bible thing. You know what? Can I challenge you, if you're young, do all you can to get as much Bible into your heart as possible. When I began as a Christian, at 13 years of age, when I got saved, then after, when the age of 15, I said, I'm going to read the Bible. I don't understand why I read. One day I read 20 chapters, just skim through it. Then I say, I read the Bible, actually I don't know anything. But you know what? The more you read, the more it gets in. Okay, the more it gets in, we need to be in God's word. Don't let God's word be a strange thing. Verse 13, Hosea 8:13, they sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of my offerings and eat it. In other words, they bring the offerings to the altar, they try to sacrifice it, they even think that they are actually doing God a favor, or rather they are having so-called some heart in their worship. But God says what? I don't accept that. Why? Because they're in sin. Can I say this? I've said it many times, I'll say it again. When we are in sin and serve God, it's not acceptable. We need to deal with sin in our lives. Especially known sin. Okay? Then, but the Lord accepted them not. Verse number 13. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. Now what is that analogy that God is saying? These people have been in idolatry so much. They have the golden calf. And they try to pretend that they are worshipping me. They are going to go back to Egypt. You know what God says? I'm going to bring you back where you came from. So that you will realize you are in heart bondage. For me, I'm personally doing a study in the book of Exodus, and how do you realize that the leaders of the taskmasters, when remember at the time Moses wanted to ask Pharaoh to let people go, and the Pharaoh said, "I'm not going to give you straw to make bricks." You know what the taskmaster did? They actually whipped the leaders. Why be me? You know, you didn't give me straw to make what? Therefore, they started to blame Moses, and the Bible talks about hard bondage. Many of the Israelites died in that kind of slavery. God says, "I brought you up from there. You are playing a fool with the world and in sin. I'm going to let you go back there again." It's a sad thing when personally I've seen Christians who have moved our way from the world, stop, get involved in some situation that sees them turning back. And then they get into sin, and they never come back to God. My question is for them, what has God done to deserve unrequited love, if I can say that? In verse number 14, you know what's the conclusion God says? For Israel has forgotten his maker. You know what's the meaning of forget? How do we forget things? Titus, how do you remember everything? What do you eat for dinner just now? What did you eat for dinner? Can't remember. How many of you remember what you eat for dinner just now? This is a phenomenon, you know. Some people actually cannot remember what they eat for dinner. You know why? They just assume it's there and it doesn't hurt them. Do you know why you can't remember? Why do people forget? Why do people forget? Why? Because they don't remember. Why do people forget? Okay, anyone else? Anyone? Why do people forget? Sorry? Not important, sorry? They don't treasure it? Okay, if you don't treasure it, what will you do? Huh? I know you forget. Okay, in therapy, you're cold? You're feeling cold? Yeah, sure. This is very useful for learning. So parents, listen. The first step to remembering things is to pay attention. When the child don't pay attention, they don't want to remember. I'm serious. It is research-based. If you don't pay attention, your brain cannot process. It therefore cannot store. Spiritually speaking, when our ears don't hear or pay attention, that's why God says many times about Proverbs, what do you say? What? Attend unto my words. That's what Solomon says, right? You know why? Because the first step of remembering is to pay attention. If you don't pay attention, you don't even dream about understanding. Right? Right? Joseph, okay? Remember, there's a first step to remembering is attending. You know why they forget the Maker? Apply that. Because they don't pay attention to God. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, how much time do we pay attention to God? Is it any wonder sometimes we come to church on Sunday, just totally not interested? Okay, I'm not saying you're not interested. Think about that. There's some people who come to church because it's an obligation. You know what's going to happen to them? They're going to forget their Maker. And before long, they're going to walk away from God. The children of Israel had forgotten his Maker. And then what did he do? He built temples. And Judah had multiplied fenced cities. They are depending on themselves. God says, "I'm going to destroy their security. You can build fenced city to protect yourself. I'm going to destroy you all." The result is disregard for God's law. They are just going through the motions of worship. And they've forgotten their Maker. Okay, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Let's turn there, alright? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. The Bible says, I'll just read, "Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hands, that they may be as frontlets between thine eyes. You know what is frontlets between thine eyes? God says, lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, bind them upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between thine eyes. You know what's a frontlet? In the Jewish, the high priest, it's interesting, they actually have this little thing that goes around their between their eyes, a little kind of like a, what do you call that? A ribbon or something, call it a ribbon. Alright? And then there's this little box here. Okay? And in this box are two little laws. That they put it there. These are the frontlets between thine eyes. In other words, God says, I want you to put my law as my Bible as a frontlets between thine eyes. That's literally what it means. Of course, it's a smaller version. You can put your handphone there if you want. So you have your Bible in your handphone. No, that's what God says. I want the Bible to be in there. And I was always put the Bible in front of you. In every decision you make, in every place you go, every friend you make, you need to put God's law first. Okay? Now, I'll just give you very quickly the next five, alright? Hosea chapter 9. These judgments are given in detail in chapter 9. The first note was that the first judgment was a consequence of there will be a death of joy. Alright, the first thing that you need to note in Hosea chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God, thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. That is the most despicable description of the idolatrous people that are living in children of Israel. They're doing it on the corn floor, alright, immorality. And you are loving their reward. Don't you dare rejoice. You think you're earning a lot of money. You think you're getting all the pleasure. Rejoice not. There will be a death of joy. The floor and the wine press shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail. Israel could not find joy like other people. They knew Jehovah, everything to which she turned, turning from Him, failed to satisfy. Okay? How true is this of individual backsliders? When we have backslided from God, nothing in this world means anything. I know of people who go into full-time service because they cannot make it for the A-levels, for example. Right? And they think that, I can just serve God. But you know what? Even in the service of God, if your heart is away from God, you're not going to get pleasure from God. You're not going to have any joy. Okay? The first thing of the judgments coming was the Christians, or so-called the children of Israel, there will be no joy in their lives. Now, Christians, have you lost your joy for salvation? Some people, when they got saved, were really on fire for God, and they love God, and know that God's in charge of everything. And now, after 1 or 2 months, or 1 or 2 years, and 5 years in the Christian life, and all the trials come, and say, oh, I'm a Christian, poor me, you know. No, Christian life ought to be exciting. You know why? Jesus walks with you every day. Okay, the first note is, there will be a death of joy. Number two, the second note, the children of Israel will pass through, is the exile. Look at verse 3. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land. But Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. This is a prophecy of God. I'm going to judge you guys. I'm going to push you back into your land of captivity, the Assyrians, the Egyptians. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto Him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourning. All they eat there shall be polluted for their bread, for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will we do in a solemn day, in the day of the feast of the Lord? For Lord, they are all gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up, Memphis shall bury them, the pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them, thorns shall be in their tabernacles. God says, on a solemn day of worship, what are you going to do, Israel? You will not have any opportunity to worship me. Remember we shared about this Filipino maid who for 1 year wanted to come to church, and she desperately wants to come, but she just the boss won't let her. Now, I'm not saying that she is backslidden, but you know, her heart is yearning to come back to God. But God says that if you choose to walk away from me, when you want to find me, you won't be able to find me. That's what God says. The feasts were very important to the children of Israel, listen carefully here, but because of their idolatry, spiritual adultery and stubbornness, they will not be able to perform these duties. Let me just apply this. What are some things that are important to us? Maybe decide. Maybe one person. What is one thing that generally is important to people? Family. Okay, family is important. What else? Decide. What is one thing that's important? Family? Nothing else important. Health. Okay. Now, we know health and family are important, right? How much time do we spend on those? In Singapore. I'm not talking about Christians, but the general in Singapore. They spend so much time working. They have no time for the family. Okay? They spend so much time working, they have no time for health. They know health is important. You know what God says? If you are going to misplace your priorities in this life, when you want the things that you know is going to be important in your life, just like worship of God to Israel is so important, God says, when the time comes, you're already in captivity, you won't be able to do what you want to do. In other words, families, you're going to lose your children before you know it unless you start investing it now. Oh yes, you pay a price. You do pay a price. Why? When everyone is having fun, you know, having lots of money, having fun, you kind of just eating taogay and taofua every day with a bit of rice. But you know what? I tell my children every time, you know, we may not have much, but we have each other. That's important. Really. Not just for me. That's important. We may not have much, but we have each other. And we have God. And with God is a majority. Amen? With God is a majority. And so, when some things are important, we need to invest in our children. Investing in our children means not giving them what they want, what they need. If they need a spanking, we need to give them. You need to memorize more, you need to give it to them. You know, it's very hard for a dad and mom to give them what they need. We oftentimes give them what they want, right? For us, it's a peace of mind. For them, it's a quiet thing of their hearts. Okay, we need to... You know what I've learned? That's why God says, spare not for their crying. Just give it to them because they need it. We need to invest in serving God. We need to invest in serving God. Because God is going to pay you back when you meet Him. Christians, can I say, you need to invest in your own Christian life. We are so busy with everyday work that the time we spend in the Bible... Maybe you should do a survey one time. How much time do we spend in the Bible? How much time do we spend in prayer? One survey was done in America of Christian pastors. You know how much time they spend in prayer? 10 minutes. That's shocking. But you know, that may be a reflection of why Christianity is so without strength. Are we investing? We need to invest. You know what? If we don't invest now, we'll find a regret in our lives. Okay, so they'll be in exile. We won't be able to do the things that we want to do. Verse 7 and 8, the third was going to be a cessation of prophecy. Right? The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. The word mad means raving, insane. For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. Okay, the days of visitation are come. In other words, the judgment is coming. The days of recompense are come. Israel will know it. The prophet is a fool. In other words, there's two meanings to this. Firstly, the people consider the prophet a fool. You're wasting your time. Alright, I'm not going to listen to you. Or it could also mean the prophet is a fool. He's talking corruption now. Does it make sense? In other words, the leaders of the people have corrupted themselves because the environment is corrupt. Now even the spiritual leaders have become corrupt. Alright, and the Bible also says the spiritual man is mad, raving insane. Now what's the people when they respond to these people, they say, you're mad. That's why the Bible actually says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, the time will come when they will no longer heed sound doctrine. Okay, time will come. Verse 8, the watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways. The prophet, the words of the prophet has become a trap to the people. Does it make sense? In other words, the preacher, during the time when they preach the word of God, oh, everything is fine, God's going to bless you, you guys are doing well, you know what? So you look so handsome. God has tremendously blessed you, my brother. You know, and they'll preach these things, giving the people a false sense of security, trapping them in their sin. And that's what's happening throughout, even today. Verse 9, they have deeply corrupted themselves as in the day of Gibeah, therefore he will remember their iniquity, he will visit their sins. Now, I won't go through the what I have here, but suffice it to say, the children of Israel have had Christian leaders or spiritual leaders that either are not preaching the word of God anymore, or their words are not being listened to anymore. during that time. And so as a result, God is going to cease all prophecy. In the book of Amos chapter 4 verse 12, there will come a time, sorry, not Amos chapter 4 verse 12, I think it's 8 verse 12, there will come a time where God is going to send a famine of the hearing of God's word. There will come a time that people, they will want God's word, they won't be able to find it. We thank God, you know what? You realize those people who have been visiting our church, when I speak to them, you know what they're after? They're after the truth. And it's interesting that when they're after the truth, they look up at Ambassador Baptist Church. Now, of course, when I share with them the truth, some of them don't agree. Even though I show them from the word of truth, you know? But can I say this? I don't know about you, but that's a challenge and encouragement to my heart. When people look for the truth, they look for Ambassador Baptist Church. And they're willing to come and listen. They keep coming back. Because you know the truth is being preached. You know, we need to know the truth, not just Pastor Johnny. Everyone needs to know the truth. That's why we have FBI. That's why we have Sunday Bible Hour. That's why we have Friday night. We need to learn the truth. Write it down somewhere, you know. Your Bible needs to look something like this. Draw it, you know. Never mind, pay for another one. Never mind, we've got some if you need. You draw, underline it, write it. So you can remember it. Why? Because you need to study to show yourself approved unto God. You know what? In the book of Hosea, there come a time that people will not even want to hear God's word. I pray this will never happen in Ambassador Baptist Church. The Bible is corrupted, the standards have become corrupt, the music is corrupt, morality is corrupted, and as such, the teaching of the word has become corrupted as well. Decision and mindset has become corrupted. Taking liberal views to things, to biblical issues, and no longer taking a biblical view. The fourth thing here in verse 10, very quickly, is the immorality that is happening, alright? The fourth declared the immorality and God judging that. In verse 10, Hosea chapter 9 verse 10, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as a first ripe in the fig tree at the time. They went to Baal Peor and separate themselves unto that shame. And their abominations were according as they loved. The sins were what they loved. That's what the Bible says. And in verse 11, you look at what God says. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. From the birth and from the womb and from the conception. You know what God says? You're expecting children. I'm going to take all of them away. Okay, that's what he says here. Verse 12. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them. Is God unfair? No, he's not. 200 years of sin God has tolerated. Judgment is coming. And God said, you may bring out your children, you will be bereaved of them. But there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them which I depart. Woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. In other words, Ephraim, when they bring up children, is going to be killed by the Assyrians to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what would thou? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. The children will not have enough to eat. They will not be sufficiently nourished. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings will I drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. God says, I know sometimes I preach this. In the Old Testament, that's why some people hate God. They say, God, you're so cruel, you know. How even children you kill? When you remember God. You know, when the Japanese invaded Singapore and Malaysia and the Philippines, right? Do you think they had mercy on the children? No. Many parents were killed, wives taken away, children separated. And some of them made to do things that aren't even mentionable. Okay? And then when the Americans dropped the atomic bombs, the Americans are cruel. Recognize this. When God's judgment comes upon the nation, it doesn't actually distinguish between who is who if you're there. That's why parents, when we don't live for God, it affects our children. They are innocent. You know, that ought to be a very telling thing for us. When we sin, our children is affected. I have seen parents teach children do things that are almost unimaginable in sin and immorality. You know what? Both of them will die and go to hell. And God says, because you have chosen this way, this is where you lead. Okay, and this is what God says. Even if they will build, even if they will bring up their children, verse 16, yet will I slay the beloved fruit of their womb. Not because, listen carefully, not because God wants to, but God has to stem the flood of sin. Does that make sense? To stem the flood of sin. And the fifth and the last one in verse 17, God will actually cast these people away because they did not hearken unto Him. They shall be wanderers among nations. This happened for 2,000 years from AD 70 until 1948. When God brought the Israelites back. This was a fulfillment AD 70. There was a judgment on Israel up to 1948. That was a 2,000 years. This is the fulfillment. The 2,000 we saw is the fulfillment of this very verse. Okay? They shall be wanderers among the nations. That's why in chapter 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, God's glorious restoration, bringing the people of the Jews back again. Very quickly, four lessons. Number one, just write down, the wages of sin is still death. Even for the Christian. Okay? I've shared with you before, I'll share it again. The first point is, when we are in sin, God will warn us. Number two, God will chastise us, Hebrews chapter 12, and God may kill us as Christians, 1 John 5, when we persist in that sin. I'm thankful, I'm not saying that we are, but learn this principle. Don't get too far into sin. And you think just because you're not caught, it's not gonna matter. It does matter, number one. Number two, the wages of sin is still dead, number one. Number two, sin kills joy. Sin kills joy. If you are in sin, if you are unforgiving, if there are things in your life, if there's pride and selfishness, you will not have joy in your Christian life. Full stop. Okay? And this is what's happened. There will be the death of joy. Hosea chapter 9, verse 1. Okay? Number 3, be separated. Be aware of compromise. Christians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18, you're a Christian. You have no business dabbling in things of darkness. And that's where in the church you begin to learn in the Bible, Lord, what are things of darkness that I need to be aware of? And then finally, Christian leaders, keep yourselves in the word, the will, and the work of God. Especially the word of God. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10, we'll finish with this. Let's turn there. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10. This verse specifically for the leaders of Ambassador, right? And all of us, of course, you may be leader in your home. But Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 10. Let's see. Ezra and Nehemiah. Let's read together, okay? Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 10. Ready? 1, 2, begin. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. May this be a verse for everyone, every family member, every dad, mom, every Christian leader. You may not have a teaching position in this church, but if you are a leader in some way, do this. Number one, you need to prepare your heart to seek God's word. In other words, God, I'm going to seek your word. You tell me what I need to do. And then number two, you need to obey what God says, and then prepare yourself to teach in Israel. All right, the law of God is not just for yourself, it's for someone else under you. Maybe you have a group of team members working with you. If you are the leader, you need to be instructing them and teaching them, this is what God says about this and that, and we need to have this biblical standard for this and that standard for that. We need to be clear what God says about this and that. We need to be very clear. You know why? If when we are clear, then every ministry will be strong, amen? And the word of God will be saturated and will permeate every ministry, and that's what we want. However, if we neglect that, that's where God says, the princes may have corrupted themselves. We need to be very careful. Alright, any questions? Alright. Well, next week is Good Friday, so we won't be having the evening. Of course, we can always make arrangements, but next week will be at 10 o'clock. But any questions on Hosea chapter 8 and 9? Okay, let's have a word of prayer first before we take prayer requests. Alright, let's pray. Father, I know I've gone a bit long, but yet, Lord, we thank you for your precious word. Father, I thank you that Hosea chapter 8 and 9 enumerates, Father, the different things that Hosea chapter 8 and 9 teaches us. God, I know that somewhere along the line in our Christian life, we may face one of these things, idolatry, immorality, drinking, sin, Lord, sometimes even the forgetting of our Maker. Forgetting, Lord, that you are the one who saved us in the first place. Oh Lord, I pray that you help us never, Father, to have that ungrateful spirit within us. And help us, Father, as Christian leaders, even in the church, to be strong in your word, and to preach it, and to share it, and to live it, Lord, and to obey it. Father, thank you for what you're going to do now. And I pray these words will sit in our hearts. We'll thank you, pray in Jesus' name. Amen.